Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
This morning, I'd like to bring you a word from the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is a message that I've touched on in the past few years, a few years ago, but God just brought it to remembrance again for me and from a different perspective today. So if you'd like to read along with me, I'm reading from the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 to 46. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that your word is truth, your word is life, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. I thank you, Father, for the word that you've given me to bring to your children this morning, to your people this morning. I thank you, Lord, that as you've given it to me, it's blessed me and moved in my heart and worked in my spirit. And I thank you, Father, that as I speak, you will make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer to portray and display and be eloquent with the things that you want me to unfold today, Lord God. And we give you all the praise, we give you all the glory, because it's all about you, in Jesus' most precious and wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Awesome. We've seen some great answers to prayer this week, and we're believing for more as the week unfolds. And coming into Christmas, the busy time of the year, we always like to call it the pointy end of the year because it kind of sticks a little bit every now and then. But it's also the most wonderful time of the year because it's an incredible opportunity to share Jesus. It's an incredible opportunity to live your life like Jesus is in you, because he is, and his hope is in you and his life is in you. And because of the year that has been, everyone has challenges and everyone's walked through challenges. It's amazing to be able to share the hope that we have, that, you know, no matter what's gone on, no matter what's happening, God is still on the throne, God is still sovereign, God is still doing the things that only God can do. So let's get into the word, and I'm realizing that we're pushing for time this morning and I don't want to hold anybody up any longer than we need to. But I just want to just say that in all things, God is sovereign and he is able. So let's dive into the word. There is the sound of the abundance of rain, and knowing God is making a faith statement in our lives when we are looking at a time of drought. Now, Elijah and Israel had just come through a period of 3 years of drought where there'd been no drought, no rain in the land. Now, nothing was growing. Everything was in a bad state. Everything was looking pretty desolate. And then, you know, the prophet comes and he says, "I hear the sound of the abundance of rain." Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's a statement that's like, wow, you know, what are you on? You can't see anything happening around you. You can't There's nothing in the natural that will show you that things are about to break, that things are about to come through. And yet, here's Elijah saying, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So there'd been 3 years of drought. Elijah's coming to the end of his ministry in this time. I love the life of Elijah. He's an incredible, incredible man of God. And I can't wait one day to be able to sit down next to him and say, now what happened when? And what did you do then? And why did you do that? And, you know, some of these great men and women of God that have gone before us that are sitting now, you know, chatting. I think too, you know, Vic's up there. And I think, wow, I wonder who he's talking to today. I wonder who he's having a deep and meaningful with today. I mean, that brings me such joy because Vic was always one who liked to really dive into the very nth degree of the word and find out what was happening and, you know, the context of when it was written. So Elijah's coming to the end of his ministry. In chapter 17 of 1 Kings, he'd revived the widow's son. He'd had great victory over the prophets of Baal in chapter 18. And Elijah hears by faith the sound of the abundance of rain. Rain is known in the Bible as the river of God. In Psalm 65 verse 9 it says, you visit the earth and water it, you greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. Isn't that beautiful imagery? You bless its growth. And that faith statement that Elijah makes is when, to all visible signs, there's not a drop of rain, not a cloud in the sky. It's still hot. We have been in Israel in summer, and it is intensely hot. We suffer here with our heat, but there's a heat that you experience in Israel that is even more drying and more penetrating than any I've ever felt before, because you ride out in the desert and there isn't the abundance of water there. We have the River Murray here, which waters and irrigates and provides us with all we need, but I digress. He makes this faith statement, and faith is not a presumption. Faith is something that God downloads into your spirit. He puts it into your spirit so that you can grab hold of it. So then when everything is not appearing to be as you want it to be, when everything is not coming through the way you want it to, that faith holds you firm and holds you fast so that you can hold on to that word of God, that rhema word of God, that revelatory word of God that he's put in your spirit, that it's going to be okay. We're going to see breakthrough, even though you can't see what's happening just yet. It's a God knowing. It's a God knowing that he puts in our spirit, that grows in our hearts, that grows in our souls, and it becomes a foundation and a rock that we can stand on and build our lives on despite what our circumstances are looking like, despite what we're walking through. And then we talk about the need for prayer. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and there he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. It talks about humility before God. It talks about humbling yourself before God, about the need for us when we, even though we know God is going to break through, we've got to come to him in prayer, in faith, believing, knowing and doubting not, because as we hold fast to that confession of faith, he's faithful and he'll bring it to pass in his perfect timing. He said to his servant, now go up and look toward the sea. And while this really struck me as incredible, while he was on the ground praying, he says to his servant, you go look, you go look, you go look. Seven times he went and came back the seventh time, but we'll get to that. But Elijah was on his face before God, praying, seeking him, believing God for what he knew was about to happen despite what he couldn't see. And he sent the servant away because he didn't want to be distracted. And so often there are things that we are looking for in our lives. There are things that we want to see breakthrough in our lives, and distractions come. Distractions get in the way. Disappointments get in our way. Pain gets in the way. Rejection gets in the way. You know, things that you thought were going to turn out differently, they don't. That gets in the way and it distracts us when God wants us to be on our faces before Him, praying and seeking His face and believing Him for His word. And so when Elijah says to his servant, you go, look, I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to press into God. And that really encourages me because, you know, so often I'm a doer. I like to plan everything to the nth degree. Ask my family. Is that right? Some of my family are exactly the same. And yet, the very planning and the doing can sometimes be the distraction that takes us away from the thing that we should be doing, and that's being on our faces before God, believing God for what He wants to do in our lives. Amen? Is it just me? Am I the only unholy one? Elijah went away to pray. God had promised rain, but he had to pray. He had to ask for it. God's promise had come to him, but he still had to ask for it. We can't just presume in God, and yet God is a good God. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask the Lord for rain. In the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds. He'll give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. He went to the top of Mount Carmel. It was a place of solitude. Got on his knees in an attitude of awe and reverence and humility before God. And he sent his servant out to look. Are there any clouds showing over the sea? Sixth time his servant went. I'm going to skip through this really quickly because I want to get to the point of the message today. And the point of the message today is, the title is, There is a Small Cloud. There is a small cloud. So six times the servant goes away and comes back with no good news. There's nothing. There is nothing. And he goes away again. But as he continues to pray, the servant keeps going. Imagine what it would have been like to be that servant. Yeah, Elijah says, go look. And off he goes and comes back. There's nothing. There's nothing. You know, nothing's happening. And how much like that in our lives is it that we have that there is nothing? We can't see anything happening. We can't see a result for our prayers. You know, there's nothing. So he went and looked again. There's nothing. Do you know, waiting on God for those things, believing God for the vision that He's given us, holding fast to that confession of faith and that word that He gives us. It's like in Habakkuk it says, without a vision the people perish. And if we don't have that vision and hold fast to it and build on it and wait God's timing on it, then there is a perishing that happens in our souls. So what happened next? He said, there's nothing. He said, go again. And seven times he said, go again. And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. See that persistence. You keep at it. You keep at it. We got to stop allowing that there is nothing thinking and mentality and speaking to permeate our lives. Those statements that are made over us. Those statements to deter us from the thing that God wants us to do. To stop us from revealing in our lives the promise that God has put in our hearts. The God knowing that He's put in our hearts. It's amazing to see that. You see, it's keeping our eyes on Jesus despite what's happening in our lives. It's keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. You know, it's keeping our eyes on the one who knows everything, who knows and is able to do everything. It's keeping our eyes on Him and persisting in prayer and persisting in that faith that He's put in our hearts as a mustard seed to persevere despite what's going on around us. Don't allow there is nothing statements to deter you from what God has spoken to you, what He's revealed to you, what He's promised to you. See through those eyes of faith. There is nothing mentality. That thinking is stinking thinking. There's nothing. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. There is nothing. Discouragement, disappointment, frustration, it kills dreams. There is nothing thinking kills your dreams and it kills your hope. It kills your passion. And we mustn't lose our passion Because it's the passion for Christ that keeps us going day by day. It's the passion for Christ and serving Him that keeps us in the zone, knowing that no matter what comes against us, we will maintain, we will persevere, we will persist, we will push through in faith and not allow that there is nothing thinking, stinking thinking, to permeate our souls and affect our spirits. This is like that river of living water. It's the pure water that comes through and washes us through. I had to take my dog to the vet on Friday. He had a bee sting and it got infected. Poor Teddy. Everyone go, oh, oh. And the vet, Tristan, lovely young man, he said, I'm going to take him away and I'm going to flush his wound out. And Teddy came back and he was as happy as Larry and he'd been flushed. He had been flushed. And I thought, do you know what? That's a picture of God. When He wants to clean stuff out of us, He flushes us. It's that river of life. It's the Spirit of God that we allow Him to permeate and saturate us and wash through and take away that dross and the little bee stings and the little things that get stuck in us and, you know, the little hurts and sometimes the big hurts that only God can take away. And it's that water of life by His Spirit that He washes us out with. Anyway, that was just a little story about Ted. I thought you'd like that. There is nothing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, Elijah had faith, and he was seeing in the Spirit what wasn't yet manifest in the natural. His servant, not so. There's nothing. There's nothing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith, we know, is going to move mountains. Matthew 17:20 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Mark 11:23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Faith will bring you into that rock solid place. Faith will give you the stability you need so that you're not going to be knocked around and pushed around with every wave, with every doctrine that comes through, every skirmish that comes through, every fill in the dots, whatever comes through against you. Faith will keep you with your feet locked firmly on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. In Him you will not be moved. You keep your eyes on Him. Faith says you won't be thrown around. It says that faith will lift you from the mundane and from the natural to the supernatural. Unbelievable. To the extraordinary. Faith will bring you up. You see, we are people of God, and so we're people of the rock, and we're people that are born again by the Spirit of God. Too often that there is nothing thinking will restrict the blessing that God wants to pour out on our lives. It causes unbelief. Faith is God's truth in action, yet to be outworked. Faith is God's truth yet to be outworked in our lives. Hold fast your confession of faith. Who would have thought years ago the things that were seen, the things that happened were all part of God's incredible plan to bring about the birth of Jesus, the baby in the manger, who we're about to celebrate his birth in a few weeks' time. Who would have thought that that baby in the manger, you know, the wise men saw it. Mary, I think, knew. She pondered in her heart. But how many would have looked and thought, Messiah, there's nothing. There's nothing. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that when they hung him on the cross, when he was crucified, we thought it was all over. No victory here. It's done. It's finished. It's washed up. There's nothing there to see. Nothing to see here, people. And yet, with faith and understanding the plan of God through Jesus, that he died on the cross for us, what was seen in the natural as nothing, what was seen in the natural as over, was just the beginning of the resurrection life that we have for all of us. Unbelievable. And yet that there is nothing thinking can absolutely disable us, incapacitate us cause us to be far less than God wants us to be. There is nothing. You see, what looks like the end in some things really is just the beginning. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it can't bring forth that life. There has to be a death before a new beginning. And to all intents and purpose, we look at things and we see that there's no life there, there's nothing. And yet in the ground and in the winter and in the cold, the frost of winter, those seeds are germinating. The vines look dead for all intents and purposes. But the frost is causing that germination process to happen so that when the spring comes and the summer comes, that fruit is going to be abundant and ripe. But you look at it in the winter, you say, there's nothing, there's nothing. I just wonder how often that thinking permeates us, affects us. And I need to get on. Verse 44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. Now that would have been pretty small. Despise not the day of small beginnings. And you think even a huge man, his hand is still not massive, is it? Might be maybe the size, twice my size, I don't know. But if you look up the sky and you see a cloud the size of a man's hand, a small cloud the size of a man's hand, and you see it, it's easy to miss it, isn't it? A little cloud appeared at length, and it soon overspread the heavens and watered the earth. Great blessings often arise from small beginnings. Showers of plenty from a cloud, just a handspan long. We should never despise a day of a small thing. Never despise those small things that begin. Just like that bee sting that was in Teddy's face. A little thing, but it spread. And that was a negative thing, except I got to see this lovely vet. Never despise the small things and even the things that are appearing to be really negative and really bad. What God wants to do through those small things, when we submit it to Him, He can do incredible things through it. Small things grow into bigger things. Look at the Great Wall of China. It grew. One brick at a time, one brick at a time, one brick at a time. Our lives need to be building in the things of God, one brick at a time, one stone at a time, one revelation at a time, building our faith, maturing us, making us the people of God that He wants us to be. You see, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand. And I just wonder, what's the breakthrough we're looking for? What's the drought in our lives that we're looking to see the breakthrough for? Maybe you felt isolated. Maybe you felt like you've been stuck on the back end of earth. Maybe you felt like you are so misunderstood and nothing's ever going to be any different for you. Maybe you felt that, you know, things are never going to change. 3 years of drought. Maybe for you it's been 30 years of drought. Maybe it's been, you know, a year that's been so hard. But let me tell you, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, and there is a small cloud appearing. A small cloud is appearing. You see, God has so much more for you. Maybe we've settled for the drought. Maybe we've given up looking for the cloud. Maybe we've stopped looking for the breakthrough in our drought or our circumstances. How many times had the people of Israel looked up to the sky for rain? How many times do you think they were like, wow, it's never coming, not even going to bother to look anymore? But it's persistence. And for we, the people of God, for us, the people of God, it's that persistence that we need to hang on in prayer, believing with God, believing for that breakthrough. You see, your breakthrough might just be on the horizon. Your cloud may just be appearing. Your small cloud might be just up there. But when you're looking up, and if you do see it, are you thinking of your natural thoughts? Or are you thinking, oh man, you know, the weather's changing? Is it a natural thought, or are you seeing it as, wow, there's an inkling of a breakthrough here? Are you seeing with the eyes of faith and believing that maybe this is it, maybe this is it? Because so often, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Proverbs. And so often we've been looking and looking and looking and nothing's coming, and so our hearts get sick. we get tired. And so we just drop our eyes down and stop looking. But we've got to keep our eyes on him. We've got to keep looking up, keep looking for that small cloud on the horizon. Because it may be, just may be, that that small cloud is the sign, the first sign of the huge... I'm spitting again, I'm sorry. COVID. It might be the sign of the breakthrough that's coming. And are we looking, or are we seeing it and going, ugh, dismissing it? Are we not even taking any notice of it? Or are you allowing it as the cloud in your life to be the catalyst for change? And is it the sign that God's beginning to move and move you into a new season? Are you seeing it as the potential for blessing, the potential for God to move powerfully in your life? Something's coming. Something's coming. Something's happening. Something's moving in the spirit here. God is moving by his spirit here. We've got to come in faith-filled every week, believing we're going to see breakthrough, believing we're going to see people healed, believing we're going to see people saved, believing we're going to see our family brought back to God, believing we're going to see our family respond to God for the first time, and our friends and our workmates and our colleagues, because it's all about Jesus. It's about us being the life that he wants us to be, that we can shine Jesus into our community to bring the life and the hope. These gifts for our community, the Salvation Army appeal that we're sowing into, this is a physical act of a spiritual truth in God, sharing the love of God, spreading it into our community so that they would know, so that for someone out there, maybe that cloud's appearing and maybe that cloud's going to break and maybe it's the breakthrough that they're looking for. We've got to see beyond our own natural environment, see beyond our own limited capacity, and see the potential that God has put in each one of us. And in this church, corporately, the difference that we can make going into Christmas, going into New Year, and into the year that's ahead. What does God want to do? What is the God potential in the cloud that has appeared? There is a small cloud, the size of a man's hand. But what is it going to do? When we go about God's business, he goes about ours. So sometimes the things that we've got happening in our life can be so overwhelming that we forget that whatever he wants to do in us, he wants to do it through us as well. There's a God purpose in everything that happens, even if it's really bad stuff. When we submit it to God and allow him to work, he works powerfully. You see, and the truth of God's word, it just so impacts me so many times, so over and over again. This wasn't the message I was going to preach today again. And yet God, he speaks. I was listening to some music yesterday morning about abundance of rain, about rivers flowing, about breaking of drought, about life out of death, about hope from hopelessness. And it just filled me with incredible hope for the future and what God wants to do. Can you see your cloud? Have you looked at it 6 times? Have you looked for it 6 times? And if you've not seen it, look again, because God wants to do something. There is a small cloud. In the meantime, now it happened in the meantime, that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. While we go about our Father's business, in the meantime, God goes about ours. In the meantime, it's just such a throwaway line. Broken drought after 3 years, and in the meantime, there's the heavy rain, and it's like the end result, and yet it was the process of getting to that heavy rain that was the power of it all. Because it was always going to happen. It was always God's promise. It was always going to be there. And it's the same for us. And it might look different for all of us, and the timing might be different for all of us, but God is faithful. And what he has promised you, he will deliver on. Storm clouds have got to gather, because without the storm clouds, there can't be the rain. So the weather we've had here in the last 24 hours, it's like, wow, that wind is blowing and that rain's coming. And it's like a picture in the natural of what God wants to do here. And I don't want to over-spiritualize it. But we see things in the natural first, and then you filter it through into the spirit, and God shows you incredible truth. Storm clouds must gather. Trials must happen. And then the rain comes, and we get flushed. Awesome. Awesome. Despite what we see, despite what we hear, despite what we feel, God's word is eternal, and he'll bring it to pass. And I need to finish because I'm 2 minutes over time. What are you believing for? What's the cloud that you're looking for? What is the breakthrough that you want to see? What is it in your life that you've been waiting for? What has the drought been? What is God saying in your situation today? I'm telling you today, there is a small cloud coming. Just keep looking up. Keep looking to Jesus. Keep believing him for the promise that he's given you. And if you haven't felt his promise, if you haven't got a rhema, get into his word. Start reading, start reading, start reading, because when you put it into your spirit, he will bring it to your mind and into your heart, and it's something that you can build on, something powerful. He's a good God, and his plan for you is all good. It's all good. There is the sound of the abundance of rain here at Bridge City. We're going to see the rain because the cloud is in the sky. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you, Lord, in your work. Your truth always comes through, Father God, and I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Lord, that Father, for those that don't know you today, Lord, that they would reach out to you to receive you, Lord Jesus, as Saviour and as Lord, that they would ask you into their hearts, that we would say, Jesus, be my Saviour, be my Lord. And for those of us who know you, Lord, we would renew our hearts for you, Lord God. We would refresh our souls saying, Lord Jesus, Lord, take control of my life. No matter what my life has been, I give it to you again today. Lord, I thank you that you are the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the beginning and the end, and you have a good plan for each and every one of us. But Father, today in this house and for those listening online, I pray, Father God, that the sound of abundance of rain kind of faith would fill our hearts, fill our souls, Lord God, that we would rise up in faith with the promises that you have put in our hearts, Lord, that we would continue to look up, not being bound down by our circumstances, not being stopped by the circumstances, but to keep our eyes on you today, Lord God, coming into this time of great celebration of you, Father God. Let us be people of faith. Let us be people that keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher. Let us be, Lord God, listening always to the sound of your voice so that we can be blessed by you to be a blessing to those around us, those that you love, this world that you love, Lord. And God, I pray today that in the meantime, as we go about doing the things you've called us to do, you are bringing the clouds, you are bringing the rain. And Father, that's going to bring life, and it's going to bring strength, and it's bringing cleansing. And all that rain does, Lord God, it's a renewing and it's a restoration, Lord God. And I thank you for all of the things that you have said, that all of the things that you have promised, for all of the things that we have prayed. We thank you that it will come to pass according to your will and according to your purpose. God, for the year ahead, I thank you for all that you're about to do, and it's beginning now. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen. I'm going to close the service, but I'm going to say goodbye to our online audience. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.